I'm Robert Rogers, and I am the founder of Parkinson's Recovery. It is a delight and an honor for me to host my guest today, who is Sal Cairns. I'd like to read something that I took off of his website, which has a fascinating name. It's 3stepstothesky.com. So let me read this to you because it gives you an incredible introduction to the amazing individual that he is. So here's what he writes on this website. At night as a boy, I would take flight as a superhero in my dreams to fix all that was wrong with the world. I realized it was an escape from my own torment and the desire to be powerful enough to fix anything for anyone, whilst lost in my own helplessness. I needed everything to be right in my own life, but was powerless to do anything about it. In taking to flight in my dreams, there were always just 3 steps to the sky. I have made a success of a life that held apparently little hope. I have faced so many challenges and found the wings to fly, to rise above them. 3 Steps to the Sky today is more about overcoming adversity and flying through life as my own hero. I must say I love that introduction to Sal Cairns. Sal, thank you so much for being with us on the show today.
It's a pleasure. I really look forward to it.
So, before we begin with asking you a number of questions that I know listeners would like to hear the answers to, tell us just a little bit about yourself.
First of all, good morning from Australia. I realize it's afternoon there, but it's 8 o'clock in the morning here and it's quite pleasant and cool. A little bit about myself. It's very hard to do, but briefly, I'm someone who loves life and nature, the natural world very much. As far as a passion for a vocation is concerned, I became a teacher 20-something years ago, and I'm still in the classroom again, despite the challenge of Parkinson's disease recently. I love writing, I love photography, I love nature, I care about the planet and the way we get along with it. And I'm really interested at the moment in soul healing experiences for myself, for getting out living amongst the green. I'm living a tree change on 5 acres at the moment. I love walking on the beach and doing those things that do really, the simple things that connect you to make you at one with the world around. Yeah, that's my heart space and my mind space at the moment.
Sal has recently released his new and exciting book titled Leading the Dance, Living Well with Parkinson's Disease. In the introduction to your book, Leading the Dance, you talk about Parkinson's visiting you 5 years ago and still hanging around like an unwelcome stranger. And you talk about dancing with it. Why did you describe it in this way?
I'm a writer and I love to use metaphor. I think even though it might seem a bit weird to some people in this circumstance, I think it's to use it to lighten it and liken it to something people can identify with in a lighthearted way. I'd imagine Parkinson's is some kind of an unwanted visitor just dropping in on me like I had no choice. If you can imagine someone rolling up and knocking at your door, ready to use a room in your house, and you weren't particularly fond of having them there at all, but you realised you had to accept them. So it's the way I used the metaphor firstly. And the dance was about, in some way, of having a nice relationship as possible with the unwelcome stranger and learning to live with it, but and minimising its impact on your lifestyle, but ejecting it eventually if you could. So I guess it's about control, having control, case control of Parkinson's in your life.
When did you first suspect something was wrong, that an unwelcome stranger had entered your life?
I realize everybody's experiences are a little bit different. For me, it was It was a shoulder injury. I had a rotator cuff injury in my left shoulder, and it took a long time to heal. And by the time it got anywhere toward healing, I realized there's something more that was troubling the left side of my body rather than just the rotator cuff injury, which did heal. But I lost control of my fingers in my left hand. I developed a shaking leg on my left side. My hand began to tremble. I had uncomfortable sensations in my head occasionally. My left leg was dragging. I had fatigue and weakness quite easily. I was walking into things all the time. I was exhausted after simple activities. Panic attacks. I was quite a mess. I was really quite a mess. It was a scary time in my life. I simply couldn't function.
My guest today is Sal Kerins, author of the newly released and exciting book titled Leading the Dance, Living Well with Parkinson's Disease. I'm Robert Rogers, founder of Parkinson's Recovery. Sal, how did you accept the news of your diagnosis initially?
Okay. At the beginning, it was quite acceptance because I was seeing a neurologist who was quite a gentle and quiet man, and he brought me down gently, I think, after the diagnosis. But after reading a lot more about the condition and letting it run away with my imagination a bit, I had something of anger, real anger, and wondering why me. You know, I've done so much with my life to help people and live well and do the best I can for the time that I've got to show on this planet. I've been through so much. Why me? When I looked at my alcoholic father, who was at that time had a stroke and hadn't lived his life well at all, and he hadn't contracted it. So this is so unfair. I've accepted it now as part of my life. I think you sort of have to, but I think you also have to keep some kind of fire going inside you, some determination, some anger about it, you know, to motivate you to chase it away and recover. I plan to live well beyond 100, and I'm going to want to stay with that unwaveringly if I can. So I've accepted it now, but I still carry some of that initial, you know, anger, I guess, and that interprets itself as being some stubbornness in me that it's not going to win. If you can identify with that.
Right, I can. What did you at first do in response to the diagnosis?
I contacted people close to me, most importantly, if you like, because whether I was looking for sympathy or some understanding or just needing to share and unload, I've always been a very open kind of person. I share. Even in my work experience, I share what I know with my colleagues rather than sort of holding my knowledge to myself as a power base. I just believe in enriching and supporting and empowering other people. So I've always confided in the people close to me and my work colleagues in terms of not just what I have or what I'm experiencing or what I know, but what I'm learning. It helps them as well. I think in some ways, whether it's a challenge that you're facing with Parkinson's or any other kind of chronic condition that might be scary for threatening what sense of life you have, there's learnings that are consistent for everybody around a positive mindset. I did some counselling as well, soul searching. I made plans to change my life. But as I've said before, there's a lot of defiance about that. I went into exercising much more. I negotiated my work leave and I began working fewer hours. I worked for the same employer for 23 years and I had 1,500 hours of unused sick leave there. So I decided it was time to use some of that up by working less and taking regular days. And then I suppose detoxifying and re-energizing myself were the most important things from there on.
How did your life change after that time?
I started working less. And if you can imagine this, sort of instead of sitting at the desk fielding calls until sundown, they started making the last calls in the car by hands free, and you can imagine getting to the beach reasonably close to where I live, and in the changing room getting into board shorts while still talking on the mobile phone, the last calls for the day with my team of technicians, and hitting the surf at the beach at the time, and I'd still be, you know, packing up my things at my desk and heading home and missing the sundown. I was catching the sundown on the beach with the bodyboard and began putting more time into things that I enjoyed in that same way, really getting out there to embrace life. I became more diet conscious and living healthier. It was really a turning point for me, and in some ways I was grateful for the diagnosis of Parkinson's, if you can say that, or if anybody can believe that, because it helped me kick habits that may not have been the best for me, and made me realise a bit more of what was most important in life, and spending more time with my family, and doing things I enjoy. I did stop working there and returned to study at university for a year to reinvent myself. I found at this time of life I needed more meaning, and that meant a bit of a career direction change for me. About medication, I took a small dose at first, increasing it until I found a balance that was right for me, and that's about where I am today. I had years of dreaming, and I've always documented my dreams to a small degree, but they became more rich, my dreams, and I wrote some small books about them, documented them. So there's been a lot of life changes.
My guest today is Sal Kerins, who just released his new book, Leading the Dance, Living Well with Parkinson's Disease. The website resource that you always need to remember is available to you, and that's the main website, which is parkinsonsrecovery.com. And there you'll see there are links to the many different websites that we maintain. They're basically listings of books that are valuable to know about, and of course, books that I've authored as well. So, Sal, more than 5 years on now from your diagnosis of Parkinson's disease, what is life like today for you?
Absolutely wonderful. And part of that is being here. I really welcome the opportunity to talk with other people and express myself and my journey and help others become their own heroes as well, if you like, if you have a sense of the feeling you need to do that. I mentioned at the start of my book that along with the diagnosis, I had stressful events lined up. I had both parents in hospital. My marriage appeared to be over by the behaviour of my partner. There was work restructuring going on, so it was a hugely stressful time to also be diagnosed with Parkinson's, and you can only, you know, wonder about any correlation there. I accepted it was time to change career-wise and completed my studies. I'm working short-term teaching contracts at the moment, and I'm really enjoying that. Confident enough that I have control of where I am, that I can introduce a bit of stress measuredly in my life, because teaching is stressful, whether you'd like to consider it a heart-based vocation or not. There is some stress there. I met a wonderful lady. I've mentioned this in my book as well. I still recommend, you know, living in life as normal as possible, and that's where I was a couple of years after my marriage. I met someone else, and we're sharing a five-acre property out in the hills near Yamundi, a popular place in Sunshine Coast of Queensland. We're living the life we've dreamed. We start to grow our own produce. We're in fresh air. We've got green surrounds. Some may say taking on 5 acres of, you know, mowing and managing trees and gardens and things with Parkinson's, you must be crazy. But me, I don't think so. I think it's about purpose, having a purpose for life and getting out there and getting into it mindfully and with hearts and hands along the way. I could have gone out and said, oh, poor me, and bought a unit in a retirement village attached to a nursing home and just waiting until I needed that kind of help. But that's, for me, that's a bit of giving up and letting Parkinson's know it's one and it can take over, you know, as soon as it's ready. And that's part of living in the disease, which I'm against, and I mentioned this in my book too. Living with it rather than living in it is the aim for me. So regarding that, Parkinson's pretty much feels in the background at the moment. I'm focusing on the purpose, you know, of reinventing my life and living the way that I want to live.
Phil, how can people get a copy of your book?
Okay, if you you can go to 3stepstothesky.com website and link from there, or simply go to amazon.com and search by my name, Sel Kerens, S-E-L-K-E-R-A-N-S, and we'll bring it up. It's a Kindle version or a paperback version.
So the title of the book, again, for listeners who want to be sure and get this incredible book, the title is Leading the Dance, Living Well with Parkinson's Disease. And Sel's name is, first name is Sel, S-E-L, and the last name, Kerens, K-E-R-A-N-S. Sel, you mentioned exercise as important and exercising safely. Can you explain this a little more?
Okay, this is pretty much about listening to your body and how it responds. I wouldn't recommend that everybody gets out and buys a bodyboard and hits the surf after work or jumps on a bicycle like I did after 30 years of not being on a bike. So in one aspect, that's where the safe part comes in, but the other one is I don't believe it's about hitting the gym and ripping your muscles to shreds while you try and develop some strength around fighting Parkinson's. I think it's more about aerobic exercise and stuff that's going to increase your core strength of your body and your resistance, keep your muscle tone up without damaging yourself. And as I was in the gym working out myself, I realized there was a very fine line there. But when you did cross it, there would be some significant difference in the way your body felt after a workout. It was the difference between feeling good and feeling like, well, I'm starting to hurt a bit from this, and maybe I'm not doing the right thing for my body. So it's about that listening, whether I suppose you've got Parkinson's or not, and just being cautious around it. I worked for a short time with a trainer, a personal trainer who had some knowledge about safe exercising with Parkinson's and doing stuff that was suitable for me. Another tip around this, it's also in my book, is some gyms. There's one in this particular area where I live now that has, it's a medically supervised gym. So it's got medical experts there in conditions such as Parkinson's that can watch over your exercise routine, if you like. So the safely.
So along with
the safety things, personal safety and the safety of your body that you're trying to heal rather than damage.
So along with elements of your personal experience, your new book contains many recommendations for others about how to respond to the challenge of living with Parkinson's. So it's kind of a narrative in parts and instructional in others. Why did you write it in this way?
Okay, I'm a teacher. I've written books for schools for teachers and students. I am a teacher, so I want to teach. I want to impart knowledge. I want to affect. I want to influence. Probably most importantly, I just haven't followed a set genre. I just wrote the book I wanted to write. I think that's important. It's got to be your heart and your character coming through. I wanted something that was almost novel-like in some situations where to get people in some narrative to relate to their own lives and say, hey, yeah, well, I felt like that when I was diagnosed with Parkinson's. Like I was paddling a kayak downstream and I hit some rapids, you know. I used narratives to make them more real. And on the back of the narratives, the advice is, I think, it's a bit more powerful rather than just bullet points on a page that that someone said are good for you to do with Parkinson's. I'm not qualified professionally, but I think personal experience counts for more, don't you?
What have been your key responses along the way that have changed things for you, that may have helped you or worked for you, Sal?
I mentioned earlier on that talking with friends, colleagues, family about this change in my life that I was going to have to come to terms with, I found some knowledgeable people, someone who had qualifications in pharmacy, naturopathy and homeopathy, all three, and I'd recommend that lady. I've still got a contact detail. I spent an hour with her on a back patio, and she was scribbling out a lot of things on the on a bit of paper, interrelating them for me in terms of the causes, possible causes for Parkinson's, the detoxifying avenues that were open, in terms of homeopathy, naturopathy, in combination with medication. And so I had the whole picture, and that was just amazing. I had someone else that I talked with about it at a support group for men, mentioned about John Coleman's book, Stop Parking, Start Living, and that was my first source of inspiration. Getting in touch with nature was really, as I've mentioned, a big thing for me. Lots of beach walks, lots of being out there, just enjoying the simple things. I started looking for a lot more from life. I mentioned riding a bike and bullying in the ways and things, but fatherhood was an important thing for me. I was a late father in my life at 46. You know, I've got a 10-year-old girl now, and she keeps me young and keeps my life enriched. I do a lot of playful things. We go to the park and we ride bikes. We get on the swings. We watch kids' movies. Just looking for a lot more from life. And those have been the key things for me. The detoxifying has been another one.
So, I have a tough question to ask you. What hurdles have you faced?
The hurdles certainly have been there. I'm not quarantined from them at all, just like anybody. I've mentioned the anger, the stress, the total disappointment, that the why me factor. I've also had depression and quite measuredly I've had one or two days where I've considered taking my life, and I think that you've got to get a way around that and not get lost in sorrow and self-pity about where you are in life. I've had medication blues. I've been so healthy. I've hardly taken a tablet in 50 years of my life, and suddenly I'm dependent on them. I've found that is quite a hurdle. Public embarrassment, shaking and leg dragging, and confusion, at not being able to function properly. I would say they've been the hurdles.
How have you overcome these hurdles?
Probably the most important one there to do something about is the depression. I mentioned in my book 5 rules for overcoming depression that I found, that I modified a little bit, that have been my mantra for reinventing my life, as well as the other strategies that I've used. So there's eating well, sleeping well, exercising, avoiding alcohol, and being alone and anxious were mine that helped me get back. And I just reiterate that last one, being alone and anxious. Sometimes I needed to be alone because meditation became a big thing for my life and mindfulness. I'll admit to being most often introverted, so that being alone is important for me. But if there's any anxiety there, that's starting to lead to depression and thoughts of ending your life, and it's time to stop being alone and start being with other people. So mindfulness was amazing for that, and meditation. I also found, through a friend, a hypnosis CD that for mind and body healing, I think it was called, that you could relax to and help reinforce your own sense of positive suggestion that you can heal your body and overcome what the challenge is to your health. Probably something else I could recommend at this point is getting involved with support groups. If it's be it a Parkinson's support group or a healing or simply a men's group that I've been involved with, Men's Health, Men's Wellbeing Association, and Men Supporting Men. Any circle, support group circles that they have, any activities. One thing that was powerful for me was going to retreat weekends that are all about restoring your health with body and mind. One of the themes for those was head, heart, and hands. And the other one was release, renew, rejoice. And both about living mindfully, living with your heart and a love for life, and reflecting that through what you did every day, your actions. The release, renew, rejoice was along the lines of what you were talking about there, Robert, you know, releasing the trauma, releasing the bad stuff inside that's keeping you from being as healthy, as happy as you can, and renewing your approach to life through a positive outlook, and then rejoicing your life, be it with Parkinson's or whatever your givens are that you prefer not to have, but just rejoicing that you've got a life, and it's still a rich and wonderful thing.
Sal, would you consider yourself recovered from Parkinson's disease?
Personally, no, but I've always considered myself recovering, and considering the way I was in the first year, I've recovered quite remarkably from the symptoms. I've staved off my progression of those symptoms or any deterioration, so I still feel the shadow of Parkinson's there in the background. It's still the dance partner that I haven't quite pushed off the dance floor yet, and it's still the unwelcome stranger that's around that hasn't quite left my door yet, but it feels like a shadow in the background. I think I'm progressing and I'll recover, but I've got more work to do yet. I consider my work still in progress. I've got more reading to do and more, I suppose, concentration on some things that I haven't been keeping up as well as I want to with.
Do you believe it's possible to recover completely from the symptoms of Parkinson's disease, Sal?
Absolutely. But with a caution, everybody's experience is different. In my case, I think that's possible for me. It's a long road, though, and to use the cliche, and persistence is the key for that, along with belief. So I think you just have to believe you can beat it and line up everything you can in the way of strategies against it. So you just have to believe. My philosophy is it's a cruel disease and it's unfair to be saddled with it. So don't be fair in dealing with it or dancing with it. You know, line up everything you can against it. Heal your body. Give it nothing to hold on to. I believe the brain can heal itself given the help it needs, just as much as the body can.
In your book, you mentioned some reluctance with medication. What's been your approach to taking medications over this entire 5 years?
I've mentioned something earlier on about some reluctance because I hadn't taken medication my whole life. I hadn't spent a night in hospital or anything. And suddenly here I was settled up with it. So I read about side effects and the possibility of needing increasing doses as body became used to it. So I've taken an initial dose to get to the balance, and I'm maintaining that so I can live and function normally, looking for alternatives around that, and heading off any introduction of symptoms, or avoiding increasing doses, because I believe that it can be harder to heal, as well as increasing side effects if you become more dependent on medication. You know, the whole idea for me is the whole goal, the whole aim is to heal my body, not to mask what's going on, but to heal what's going on. So I'm getting ready now to wind back very slightly with healthier eating and the lifestyle around this green change, you know, living among the trees and growing our own produce and things.
As an Australian, you mentioned one valuable resource to you, who has been naturopath John Coleman, who himself fully recovered from symptoms of Parkinson's disease. What other resources have been useful for you in learning about alternative approaches to managing the symptoms?
I've already mentioned some of the local contacts I've made and people with knowledge. But Robert, you know, my hat is completely off to you and the support that you give through Parkinson's recovery. A key time for my life was reading about the recovery summit in Cincinnati and saying, hey, I've got to go halfway around the world here and I'm going to jump on a plane and travel for 14 hours or whatever it is and reach into my pocket for a bit of money to do this. But this is what I want. This is what I really need in my life. I need some encouragement, some positivity, someone putting up the flag to say, hey, you know, you don't have to accept that this is going to debilitate you forever. And there's some possibility of recovery. There's a wide range of things you can do to try. And there is hope. Where there's hope, there's always a solution. So Robert, I thank you very much for that, because I came over to Cincinnati and sat through a lot of talks that people gave and some workshops and therapy sessions, and I was a bit of a beacon of health myself there, because I already considered myself well on the way to recovery. And I think I was encouraging for other people as well as they were for me, just simply by my being there. So I've yet to engage fully with all the resources you've got on your website, but it's just an amazing resource. My next target is looking at the things on mindfulness to reinforce what I already do and know and understand about mindfulness. So also got a bit of support from Parkinson's Resource Organization that based in the USA. I was a bit disappointed that there was nothing much in Australia that was the same, apart from the Stop Park and Start Living book. So yes, it's been a big thing for my life, huge thing for my life, you know, to have met you, Robert, and to engage with what you've got available for people. I think you're an amazing source of inspiration.
It was a high honor for me, Sal, to meet you in Cincinnati back now 3 years ago and to spend the time that I did with you. You are truly a person who is a mentor to many others who join you on this journey of recovery from Parkinson's disease. And, of course, since that time, not only have you made incredible strides and gains and made some incredible decisions for yourself, but you've written a book about this discovery. So it's exciting to me to be able to have you on the show today so that we can tell everybody about this amazing story of what you've done over this short period of time. What sums up
Thank
your
you.
Philosophy in terms of life with Parkinson's disease?
You must have an absolutely positive and unwavering mindset, firstly and foremostly. Without that, it's bedlam, it's panic, it's uncertainty, it's fear. So it's you've got to take on board that really positive mindset, wear it like a hat every day. If your negative thoughts start creeping in, chase them out. Chase them out. Have a motto for yourself, if you like. Something you look at, something you read, something you think every day is a trigger to putting that positive cap back on. It's important to, as I've said before as well, live with it rather than live in it. Don't get up every morning and think, well, you know, I've got this damn Parkinson's disease, how am I going to get through the day? Get up in the morning and think, what can I do today that's going to be the most rich and happy and wonderful experience that I can manage around work or the other things that I've got to do? What am I really going to do today to get out there and embrace life?
Many people I talk to do understand and appreciate the value of a positive mindset, but they have difficulty maintaining that. How can people focus on this and heal their bodies?
Okay. I would say plans are most important there. Making plans for life changes are not life changes that are accepting a loss of control, but rather taking control, doing the detoxifying, addressing the possible causes, diet, exercise, mindfulness is a big one, huge, huge one, relaxation, meditation as well, staying hydrated, drinking lots of water, exercising within the careful boundaries, and working measuredly, I think. So it's really not a simple answer, but there's a lot of factors in there. But I suppose the word that I started with, plans, is the important one there, planning to do those things.
In your book, you have an interesting suggestion that people complete a Parkinson's barrier buster activity. Now, what is that, Sal?
Okay, this is interpreted from an activity I was doing with students in high schools, which is basically a diagram. Essential to the diagram is you, things that are especially important for you or about you. And around you, you've got these barriers between you and the dreams, the goals, the ambitions you have. And in this case, interpreting the diagram from use with students to align them to careers is the barriers for the students would be things like I need to get a driver's license, I need money, I need to go to university or what have you. This is simply the barrier is Parkinson's, and it's if you let it, it's going to keep you from your dreams and your goals and your ambitions. So it's got huge arrows that are breaking through the circle of Parkinson's around you. This is in the book, by the way, so you can see it and use it for yourself. So what are you going to do? What are your actions are you going to do to get to where you want to go with your vision for your life, for your dreams, your goals, ambitions? How are you going to realize those things? How are you going to break through Parkinson's and still get you to the rich and rewarding life you want to have? And almost getting to the point of realization that yes, I've got this new challenge in my life, but hasn't it woken me up? Hasn't it made me rethink my life? And it's more important than ever now that I achieve those things that I want to achieve even sooner. I want to fill up my life with a lot more now. So it's just another life challenge, and you can overcome it. So the barrier buster diagram is kind of like a poster for your wall that once you complete it, you look at it every day. It might be next to your mirror, just to reinforce your resolve, if you like, and get you with that positive mindset when you get out of bed in the morning. This is who I am. This is where I am. This is what I want to do. These are my dreams, goals, and ambitions. And Parkinson's, he's not going to get in the way. Sorry.
I'm Robert Rogers, your host of the Parkinson's Recovery Radio Show. My guest today is Sal Kearns, author of Leading the Dance, Living Well with Parkinson's Disease. Sal, you've mentioned a number of functions and activities people need to engage in order to see a reversal of their symptoms. What are the key things you would suggest that are vital for people with Parkinson's to do in their daily lives?
Okay, I've rambled on quite a bit about a number of things, but I'll keep it simple with this particular answer here. One, stay hydrated. Two, exercise. Three, mindfulness is important. And four, meditation.
Coming back to your book, what was it that inspired you to write the book, and how did you go about doing it?
Like a lot of people in the world, I guess the death of Robin Williams hit me pretty hard. And I just wanted to be able to sort of grab him back from beyond the grave and just shake him and wake him and say, look, mate, you know, you can live richly and well, and I know how you feel if you had a bad episode of depression that got you feeling like there was no way out of this. Just to that would have been part of it, but also needed to shout, you know, in the absence of other things in my own country about staying strong against Parkinson's. I needed to be another voice for that. So it was not a convenient time. I was, as I said, I've made a tree change. I've moved house. So the wonderful lady that I met decided we were going to have a future together. We sold both our houses and packed them up and moved them and moved into a place together in the country. So I just interrupted that whole process of packing and moving and sat for 10 days and just let it flow. It was really inspiring for me to do that and cathartic. You know, it helped me grow in confidence and heal as well. It reinforced everything I've done and in the context of sharing it with other people. And so the draft was written in 10 days and I spent about 40 days then revising it on and off just where I could around the move to the new house.
I hear many stories that are quite incredible from individuals about their own journey on the road to recovery. And oftentimes I'll follow up and say, would you like to be a guest on the radio show? The answer turns out to be oftentimes no, for various good reasons, of course. Would you recommend that everyone share their stories in the way that you have shared your story?
Yes, to a way that suits them. I know people are all different and some are quite open and willing to share and others like to keep it quite private if they've got a condition such as Parkinson's. But I'd consider even if you write it for a very close friends or just family in your own form, in your own time. And it could be a poem, it could be a book, you know, that I'd recommend writing about it. I've dealt with so much adversity in my life, and even since a child, and I've always done that through writing, dreaming, imagining, and putting things down in place. But most importantly, that I suggest getting a friend to help, or even if someone's serious about it and wants to do a book, I can even offer to ghostwrite with somebody. I'm considering at the moment publishing a book of people's stories and experiences because I've caught so many just through Parkinson's support groups just saying, well, yes, I've been, some of them might say that they've had the disease 5, 10 or 15 years and what they've done, and some of them are inspirations and they're still managing well now. Some have recovered and others are struggling a little bit. But I'd like to have a small book of people's stories, whether they're openly sharing their name or whether it's anonymously, just as another help book to follow up the one I've just done, just to say, well, here's how other people have gone about it, the key things that may be the same or different to what I've done.
That sounds like a fascinating project to me. Let me promote your new book too, Sal. I would love to have not only you, but perhaps some of the other people that you're going to write the stories about on a future radio show.
Yeah, so if anybody is on the line here that's interested in sharing their story, without it necessarily being a slight underwater distortion of mine, that I don't mind if it's that either, but I certainly encourage anyone, and the line is open. Go to my website and make contact with me.
And then how would they contact you? Through your email? If so, what is that email?
Okay, the best email for me is Sel, S-E-L, Kerans, K-E-R-A-N-S, at iCloud, I-C-L-O-U-D, .com. Alternatively, they can go to 3stepstothesky.com and contact me there through a web form.
And that website address is exactly the way it sounds, with all of those words joined together. It's a marvelous title for a website, I think. So it's 3-T-H-R-E-E, the word 3, steps, S-T-E-P-S, 2, T-O, the, T-H-E, sky, S-K-Y, .com. So actually, all you have to remember is 3 steps to the sky, and you've got the website address. I am your host of the Parkinson's Recovery Radio Show. My guest today is Sel Kerans, who is the author of the amazing book, which has just been released, titled Leading the Dance, Living Well with Parkinson's Disease, which you can actually claim on Amazon or by going to the website that we just referenced, 3 steps to the sky. Sel, do you have a motto to live by that you could leave people here with today?
I've already kind of left one many times, haven't I? 3 steps to the sky has been mine about overcoming childhood adversity. It still carries me through. So if you have a favorite motto for your life, simply make it mean more than it does through overcoming Parkinson's. Otherwise, get something simple, and you've all seen these things on Facebook and Twitter and things that are shared. One that I've seen recently is I can, I will, end of story. Simply stated as determination that you can do what you set out to do. Otherwise, I've mentioned a couple of other things: head, heart, and hands. Being mindful, living through your heart and your love for the world, and showing that with what you do. Or release, renew, rejoice, I think is a great one as well. Release the bad stuff from your life, your experience, your body. Healing yourself and celebrating life, even though you have Parkinson's. Consider the Parkinson's a short term. The recovery is possible. And the advancements in treatments and pathways toward a cure are just astounding as well. So don't feel saddled with it. Stay positive and get yourself a motto that you can use every day. And to flick the switch, staying positive and happy.
The motto, Sel, that resonated with me just yesterday was inspired by a T-shirt that a man was wearing. And on the back of the T-shirt, big words were written that said, "Just do it." And I thought, well, I think that ought to be my motto. Instead of thinking about it, pondering about it, wondering whether I should do it or not, I just need to go ahead and do it. And that also seems to summarize much of what you've been talking about on the show today.
Yes, I think so. I think so. I talk about a couple of things that I've done out of the box, things that I've done that have helped me also break free of this notion of feeling limited. And I think it's important to do those. Not necessarily someone who's 89 years old jumping out of a plane in a parachute for the first time, but you know what I mean. Get out of the box and get out there.
Now, there are many individuals who are listening to the program today and who will be listening to the recording who are newly diagnosed. They've just learned that they have a diagnosis of Parkinson's disease. What would you like to say to them today?
Welcome to the family. Don't be dismayed. Don't be disappointed. Don't be too angry anyway. Keep a little bit of a fire of determination determination going against it, but it's not the end of the world, guys. It's the start of a new life. That life is your own. It's still your own. It's yours to embrace or be sad about. I'd rather embrace it, and I recommend you do that too.
I encourage all of you who are listening to claim Sal's new book. And so, again, the title is Leading the Dance, Living Well with Parkinson's Disease. His last name is spelled K-E-R-A-N-S. It's available on Amazon, and so you can just search on the title of the book and even his last name, and you'll be able to order it from there. It's available as a download, or you can actually also go to his fascinating website, which is 3stepstothesky.com. So I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart for taking the time to be on the show today and share your incredible insights and wisdom about what it means to live with symptoms that have challenged you over the last 5 years.
Thank you. It's been wonderful as well. And if anybody would like to follow my daily experiences with life, at the top of my website, thestepstothesky.com, there's links there to my Twitter feed and my Facebook feed and such forth. And I'm also on Instagram, so if you search by my name, you'll find me there. I'm a huge photographer. So I'd be happy to be an online buddy of sorts, if people want to connect through social media.
Fantastic. Tell people again, please, your email address.
Sel, S-E-L, dot Kerans, K-E-R-A-N-S, at iCloud, I-C-L-O-U-D, dot com. I basically live on an iPad these days, so that's the quickest way to get to me.
Great. Sel, Karen, thank you so much for being a guest on the show today. It has been incredibly illuminating for me and all of the other listeners.
Thank you very much. It's been a wonderful experience for me too. Very cathartic.